On June 11, 1863, Union forces, crew members from the USS Albatross, took a boat and headed towards the shore of St. Francisville, Louisiana. They carried a flag of truce as they headed straight toward their enemy to make a request known. They wanted to know if they could bury their commander in a cemetery in town. This is the story of the day the war stopped in St. Francisville. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight. And I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring historical mysteries and legendary figures of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. Freemasons, or Masons as they're also known, are deeply rooted in American history. Founding fathers George Washington, John Hancock, and Ben Franklin were members, with 13 of the 39 men who signed the Constitution identifying as Masons. What are Freemasons? Well, that's a complicated question that often leads you to wild conspiracy theories. The fraternal order has always been shrouded in secrecy that's fostered suspicion. Some often cited conspiracies include the belief that Masons provoked the French and American revolutions in partnership with the Illuminati, and the belief that they're connected to murders of those who questioned the order or its members. To be clear, there's never been concrete, fact-based information that proves any of those wild conspiracy theories. Freemasons are secretive. They don't divulge much about their order. Only that they are a brotherhood of like-minded individuals who meet regularly for spiritual and intellectual enlightenment. Masons are one of the oldest and largest brotherhoods in the world, with members from a wide variety of backgrounds. Masonry is said to teach good men to be better in every area of life and encourages men to help others and make a difference in the world. These days, you'll see that lived out through the Shriners Masons, who operate the largest network of hospitals for burned and orthopedically impaired children in the country, and the Scottish Rite Masons, who operate a network of hundreds of childhood language disorder clinics and programs. Those orders and more live out the Masonic principles, which include each person having a responsibility to be a good citizen, making the world a better place, and living a life of honor and integrity. Masons connect through their local lodge, a group of Masons who meet each month to conduct business and bring in new members through the ceremonies that they call degrees. The lodge is where many friendships are solidified for a lifetime. It's said that the principles of brotherhood and looking for the common good in man is why Masons have stood the test of time. They're asked to show compassion and kindness. Even as the Civil War was pitting brother against brother, there were many accounts of Masons showing kindness and pausing for moments of peace between Union and Confederate troops during the Civil War. It was the brotherhood of Masons that motivated Union and Confederate forces to pause during one of the bloodiest months of the Civil War. In June of 1863, a group of men united for the funeral of Union Lieutenant Commander John Elliott Hart. The funeral and the events surrounding it have become known in St. Francisville, Louisiana, as the day the war stopped. John Elliott Hart, or Elliot, as he preferred to be known, was born in New York in 1825. When he was 16, he was appointed a midshipman in the United States Navy. Within a year, he was warranted. In October 1846, the 21-year-old entered the Naval School at Annapolis, Maryland. Upon graduation in 1848, Elliot Hart became an officer in the United States Navy. In January 1855, Elliot married Harriet Van Wurst at St. George's Episcopal Church in Schenectady, New York, where the couple settled down and had two sons. Abraham Elliot, born in October 1855, and Frank Mitchell, born in June 1858. Tragically, young Frank would die at just 6 months old. Elliot Hart found friendship and community with Freemasons in St. George's Lodge in Schenectady, and he found community as he continued his naval service. During the first year and a half of the Civil War, Elliot Hart served on a few ships. His mind was focused on the war, but also focused on home and family, especially focused on his son Abraham Elliot, who he called Eli. In September 1861, Hart wrote to his son that no one loves Eli more than his papa. One of these days, when this war is over, he will come back and there will be nicer times ahead for them both. Hart was appointed a lieutenant commander and assigned a small steamer called the Albatross on July 16, 1862. The wooden steamer needed extra protection, which led Hart to order its decks to be piled with cotton bales and had cotton bales and lumber attached to its sides. The Albatross was active in the Civil War, destroying a major Florida salt works in Missions in November and December of 1862. During an attack on Port Hudson in March of 1863, the Albatross suffered the loss of a sailor. Port Hudson was a key part of the Confederate strategy to control the Mississippi River, following Union forces overtaking New Orleans in April of 1862. Confederates fortified the river bluffs at Vicksburg, and Port Hudson became the perfect location for another series of river batteries overlooking a bend in the river that became an obstacle for Union warships that were trying to navigate and take control of key strongholds along the Mississippi and Red Rivers. In March of 1863, Union Admiral David Farragut attempted to steam his fleet past Port Hudson. One of the boats, the USS Mississippi, was destroyed, and all but two of his ships had to turn back due to damage. But two made it through, the USS Hartford and USS Albatross, captained by Lieutenant Commander Hart. The Albatross suffered major damage, lost four sailors, and was forced to withdraw. Over the next few months, the Albatross would join in several raids. By June 11, 1863, the Albatross was once again anchored in the Mississippi River near the twin communities of Bayou Sarah and St. Francisville, about 15 miles above Port Hudson, where the siege of that stronghold had been underway for weeks. The town of St. Francisville had been established in 1809. It was known as the town 2 miles long and 2 yards wide because it had been built along a bluff that overlooked the Mississippi River and the Bayou Sarah Creek. Bayou Sarah had been settled by French colonists in the early 1790s. In the late 18th and early 19th centuries, Bayou Sarah grew into one of the largest antebellum ports along the Mississippi. That was due to its convenient location between Natchez and New Orleans. But Bayou Sarah would eventually be forced to move its markets up on the bluff above their town because of flooding from the Mississippi. Over time, flooding and several fires would consume the community. Only a few structures survived and were moved up onto the bluff, where St. Francisville was growing with several plantations nearby. Those plantations led to St. Francisville thriving, and the wealth was reflected in the construction of Grace Episcopal Church. The Gothic-style church was impressive, one of the finest in the state at the time it was built. The cornerstone for the church had been laid in June 1858 by Bishop Leonidas Polk, who earned the title of Fighting Bishop from Louisiana because he served as a bishop and a general in the Confederate Army. In June 1863, as the siege of Port Hudson continued, Bayou Sara and St. Francisville structures and homes would suffer damage, including Grace Church. It's estimated 30,000 Union troops were fighting against 6,800 Confederates during that siege. The resulting battles led to some of the bloodiest fighting in the Civil War. The USS Albatross assisted Union forces by shelling positions along the river north of the Confederacy's fortifications. As the siege of Port Hudson was underway, Elliot Hart was aboard the USS Albatross, but he was not of sound mind and not in full command. If you read the official government record of Elliot Hart's service, it notes that Elliot Hart died in battle on June 11, 1863. But Hart's crew knew it was not as simple as that. From the time the Albatross had anchored above Port Hudson in early June, Hart had been suffering. He was delirious from fever for days. The cause of the fever is not known, although some believe it was related to a previous injury Hart had suffered in battle. Others believe it was a tropic fever. What is certain is that as the siege was underway, Hart's crew were concerned for their commander because he seemed to be out of his mind with fever, confined to his quarters, and truly suffering. On June 11, 1863, a crew member heard what sounded like gunfire coming from Hart's quarters. The Albatross executive officer, Theodore Dubois, ran into Hart's room and found the commander had, in a state of delirium, shot himself with his pistol. Within hours of his death, Hart's crew, who held him in high esteem, made the decision to honor Hart and prepare for his burial, which would lead them to make an unusual request of Confederate forces and Grace Church in St. Francisville. Hart's officers knew they would not be able to send his body to his home of Schenectady, New York, for burial. They felt it would be wrong to simply conduct a ceremony and lower Hart's body into the Mississippi River. Hart's executive officer, Theodore Dubois, knew Hart and a few officers on board were Freemasons. He knew Hart would want a Masonic burial. With this in mind, Dubois and a few crew members took a boat and headed towards shore, carrying a flag of truce as they headed straight toward their enemy. Bearing that flag of truce, Dubois and his men made contact with Confederates and made their requests known. They asked if any Masons were in the area and officially requested permission to bury Captain Hart in the cemetery of Grace Church. The Union forces were informed that two brothers, Samuel and Benjamin White, were living in the area at the time. Contact was made with the Whites, who informed Dubois that there was a lodge in St. Francisville, but the head of the lodge was away. Senior Warden William Leake was home on furlough. The Confederate Army captain was a lawyer practicing in St. Francisville when he volunteered for the Confederacy in 1861. He had become a Mason in 1854 and risen to leadership. He was well known and respected by the Whites, who agreed to seek counsel with their brother Leake, as he was known to his fellow Masons, and make the burial request known. When Leake read the request, he immediately sent word that, quote, "As a soldier of the Confederate Army, I think it is my duty. As a Mason, I know it is my duty." Captain Leake continued, saying, "As a Mason, it is my duty to accord Masonic burial to a brother Mason without taking into account the nature of our relations outside Masonry. Go tell the Union officer to bring his captain ashore." A truce was arranged with the conditions that Union forces were allowed to return to the Albatross, bring Hart's body ashore for a funeral and burial, and then return to their ship. Leake assured Union officers that other Masons were in town, and he would seek to find his fellow brothers to attend the funeral service to honor a fallen Masonic brother. Dubois and the ship's crew returned to the Albatross, where they prepared Hart's body for burial. The following day, 50 men from the Albatross accompanied their captain's body to shore, where they were met by the White brothers, along with members of the Feliciana Lodge No. 31, all wearing their Masonic regalia on their Confederate uniforms. Hart's body was carried up a steep hill by Union and Confederate Masons, bearing the weight of Hart's body in the unforgiving heat of June in St. Francisville. His body was taken to the lodge where Confederate and Union Masonic officers honored their brother Hart with a Masonic funeral led by William Leek. Leek, along with his local brothers, then marched in front of and alongside the corpse of their fallen brother Hart as a group of Union and Confederate officers and crewmen carried Hart's body to Grace Church Graveyard, where a grave had been prepared in the Masonic section. Grace Church Reverend Daniel Lewis conducted the service of the Episcopal Church graveside, with a final Masonic rite being delivered by Leek. Hart was then lowered into the grave by the group, Masonic Brothers, dressed in blue and gray. Then, Union forces returned to the Albatross, and fighting resumed, until weeks later, when Confederates at Port Hudson and Vicksburg surrendered. On June 25, 1863, Commander John Elliott Hart's death notice was printed in his hometown paper, the Schenectady Democrat and Reflector. The correspondent wrote the following of Hart: "Lieutenant Commander Hart was an officer highly esteemed and beloved in the service. He leaves a wife and family in New York to whom his loss will be irreparable. They have the sympathy of all in their sore affliction. He was a faithful, enthusiastic officer and did the cause good service." Commander Hart's father-in-law, Abraham Van Vorst, had been notified of his death before the notice was printed. When he informed Hart's wife, Harriet, he was able to hand her a letter from Executive Officer Thomas Dubois, who wrote that Hart had been buried with military and Masonic honors, with an Episcopal service being read graveside. 1 week before his death, Elliott Hart wrote his final letter to his wife and their young son. He praised his crew and wrote about the ongoing siege at Port Hudson. He also shared little moments of life, of peace apart from war, mockingbird singing, seeing a little puppy on shore, and he wrote that the ship's mouser, Kitty, had given birth to kittens. One of Hart's final promises to his wife was that after the war was over, he would treat her to a trip down the Mississippi River so she could see where his men bravely battled the enemy and look upon the beauty of the area. How heartbroken Harriet Hart must have been when her father delivered the news that her beloved husband was gone, along with her dreams of what life could be like after the war. Thomas Dubois' letter to Harriet Hart made mention of sending for her husband's remains. He informed her that she could communicate with a lodge in St. Francisville, where Masonic brother William Leek would help make the arrangements. Government records from February 1865 show that Harriet did seek permission to have her husband's body taken from the Grace Church yard and sent to Schenectady, but Hart's body was never removed from the graveyard at Grace Church. Perhaps Harriet was at peace, knowing her husband's final resting place was in an area he considered to be peaceful and beautiful. Captain Hart's grave was marked with a simple wooden board. The man who maintained Hart's grave and made sure it was decorated with flowers each year was none other than William Leek. By 1900, the wooden board that marked Elliot Hart's grave had started to rot, which led Leake to contact the U.S. Navy to request a marble headstone be placed to honor Hart. Arrangements were made, and that marker was placed. In June 1905, Elliot Hart's son, Abraham, who had been just 7 years old when his father died, learned of all the circumstances surrounding his father's burial in St. Francisville. He briefly considered removing his father's body from Grace Church and arranging for burial in New York. Abraham exchanged several letters with William Leake, thanking him for his kindness to his father and his men when his father passed away. Leake noted that Hart's grave had never been ignored since burial. Leake also made it clear that should Hart's son wish to make arrangements to have his father's remains returned to New York, he would be honored to assist. He reassured Abraham that he had been personally caring for his father's grave, placing flowers and maintaining it for years. He also shared that on Decoration Day each year, he placed a United States flag on Hart's grave. This assurance seemed to bring peace to Abraham Hart, who decided to leave his father's remains to rest in peace in St. Francisville. William Leake maintained Hart's grave until his death in 1912. When Leake passed away, his family and Masonic brothers agreed that Leake should be laid to rest near Elliot Hart. The former enemies united in war and in their Masonic brotherhood. In 1955, the Grand Lodge of the state of Louisiana placed a marker to honor Hart and Leake, which was inscribed, "This monument is dedicated in loving tribute to the universality of Freemasonry." The story of the day the war stopped in St. Francisville became legendary among Masons. In the 1990s, Frank Karwoski, the official historian of Hart's Masonic Lodge in Schenectady, began researching Hart's life. When he learned of all the details of his burial, he worked with the Masonic Lodge in St. Francisville to stage a reenactment of the day the war stopped. On June 13, 1999, the burial of Commander Hart was reenacted in St. Francisville. That reenactment has been a tradition in St. Francisville ever since. The lodge and town gathered to commemorate the legendary day with a play at Grace Church and Hart's burial and graveside reenactment. The town turned it into a festival with a parade, lectures from historians, and in true Louisiana fashion, dancing and music with a jambalaya cook-off. Several of Commander Hart and Captain Leake's ancestors have attended the reenactment with special appearances from them in 2013, marking the 150th anniversary of the day the war stopped in St. Francisville. William Leake and John Hart are forever connected because of war and their brotherhood as Masons, even though the men never met. Freemasons remain one of the world's most secretive societies, but that brotherhood and mutual respect are being extended today as the coronavirus pandemic continues and quarantine and lockdowns are underway in America and continue around the world. Masons have invited people to take part in their centuries-old tradition of the 9 o'clock toast. No matter where they are or what they're doing, members raise a glass at 9 p.m., to honor one another and remember those who have gone before them. A moment of unity, extended during uncertain times in an effort to not feel lonely and isolated. A reassuring reminder that at 9 p.m. each night, someone, somewhere, is thinking of you and wishing you well, and raising their glass to toast healthcare workers and everyone on the front lines in the battle against COVID-19. A truce of sorts, as we set aside differences and unite in our hope for health and a brighter future. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. You can see photos from this episode and learn more about one of the prettiest little towns in the South, St. Francisville, Louisiana, in the show notes at southernmysteries.com. And you can hear more Southern Mysteries when you become a member of the podcast on Patreon. You have a few membership options, including one that gives you access to monthly bonus content called Southern Mysteries Shorts. Your support ensures Southern Mysteries continues. Special thanks to our newest members, Cotton from Conway, Arkansas, Connie from Schertz, Texas, Cindy from Fairfax, Virginia, and Angie from Kelso, Tennessee. If you'd like to join them in supporting Southern Mysteries, you can visit patreon.com/southernmysteries or find the link to learn more in the show notes where you're listening now. Take care of yourself and stay healthy, and thanks for listening.